From the land to Grand Theatre Varsity in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 10th day of March, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets, take a quick look at yesterday's USDA reports, and forward, too, at the acreage and grain stocks numbers with Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. And Drew Lerner will be here to discuss weather across the southern United States. Planting is beginning there. Dry weather in the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the U.S. and maybe some relief coming for them. And what the drought, we'll call it a drought, in Argentina is doing at this point, and if there's any change in pattern there, that'll all happen on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn for the day settled at $5.34 a bushel. That was down 11¾ cents. July at 5.24¼, 10½ lower. In December, down 4½ at $4.80¼. The most active May, 14.09¾ in the soybeans, down 30¼ cents. July 30 lower at 13.96 in November, 12.38¾, down 23¼ cents. Bean meal off $9.80 at $4.06.80 in the bean oil, down 4 cents. At $53.51. Wheat futures soft red at $6.52½ in the May, down 4. July, the harvest month, 4¾ lower, $6.43¼ the settlement price. In the hard red July at $6.22½, and the wheat down 9½ cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, 87½ lower at $118.77½ for the April contract. March feeder cattle, actually April at 141.72½, down 35 cents for the day. And lean hogs at $88.77½, 42½ cents lower on the afternoon. Crude oil up 53 cents higher at $64.54 a barrel today. And the heating oil or diesel fuel about a penny and a tenth higher at $1.91¼. Gasoline on a wholesale price at $2.08, down or rather up 3¼ cents. Natural gas at $2.69, 2¼ cents higher for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. We're now joined by Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing to take a look at what's been happening in Chicago and the trade in general. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's go through our normal things to begin with. Support and resistance levels first, please.
Well, it was kind of an ugly day today. We've got May support at 529, resistance at 572, crossover point at 561. And in all the corn contracts, we're seeing them testing the uptrend lines, basically, is what they're doing. They're going down and seeing if they can break through them. In July, 498, 557, crossovers at 584. December weekly, 455, 486 is resistance, crossovers at $5. We look at beans, May, 1407 and 1521 with a crossover at 1452. July, 1342. 1444 and a crossover at 1435. And on the November weekly, 1159, 1292. And basically, that's the channel. So one thing we have to be very aware of is that this particular uptrending pennant is getting more narrow all the time, because right now the uptrend range in the channel is 1159 to 1292, which, you know, are the support and resistance. So they're pulling in closer and closer. So the market's going to have to make up its mind what it wants to do. Dow Jones Index, little change there. We've got support still at 29,756, but we've got the resistance at 32,234, the new high, and that's a new trend line now too. U.S. dollar, little change there. Support 92.03, resistance 93.87. And when we go on to manage money, Todd, kind of interesting. Soft red wheat, not a lot. They went from long 25 this or long 27 last week down to 25 this week. Corn, they stayed exactly the same, 353 last week, 353 this week. Soybeans, they added 4,000 positions and went up to 174,000. Soy meal, they dropped to 61,000 from 67. But in soy oil, and we've been talking a lot about this renewable diesel, 129 compared to 116 last week. So managed money has moved into that arena a little bit more. On export inspections, we're seeing wheat running 4% behind compared to 4% last week. Corn 84% ahead of a year ago compared to 81% last week. So corn's been pretty exciting is what it's been. Soybeans up 75 and they were up 76 last week. So they've just been kind of in the middle of everything. But the market is trying to figure out where it wants to go.
Tell me a little bit about this pennant and what your worries and hopes both, I suppose, might be for it. And what does an uptrending pennant mean most of the time?
Well, most of the time, what it means is we're getting to a point where, you know, we're making decisions, basically, is what we're doing. And what you're trying to do, I said pennant, but I should have said channel. Okay. It's really a channel is what it is. And what it means is in this particular case, if the channel narrows instead of widening like you'd like to see it widen, it just means that your likelihood of being able to break out to one side or the other is higher. Now, in this particular case, I think from a concerning standpoint, I think a breakout to the higher side is probably more likely when I look at the chart itself. The pennant itself goes up to, 1347 is where the crossover point is on the pennant. So, you know, the pennant itself is getting narrower as it moves toward this point. And normally what we see is, you know, all right, if we make it to that point, it just means the trading range gets to be more narrow all the time. And we're seeing that. We're seeing the trading range is getting to be more narrow and more narrow and more narrow. And the likelihood of breaking out one way or the other becomes higher. And so it's just basically, you know, something that, a pennant is a flag, right? So, you know, it's like the red flag warning. Pay attention to what's going on in this marketplace because it indicates that the market is trying to figure out which way it really wants to go, if it wants to go any higher or if it wants to return and go back down. And I mean, if we talk about going lower, we're back down into the 11s again. And so, you know, it's interesting is what it is, but it is just part of the technical picture.
Anything else you're paying attention to in the markets today?
You know, we've been watching the carry between May and July corn is 10 cent inverse right now. The interesting one is May corn to December corn. Last week it was 83 cents. This week it's 57 cents. May to July beans, 15 cent inverse. And May to November beans remained at $1.82, the same as it was last week. So the market continues to say we want corn and beans now. But at the same time, they're starting to say, well, you know, maybe that new crop, we need that new crop too. So the reaction to the USDA report, you know, we didn't get any new news today. So I think what we saw in the markets basically was profit taking, working to try and test some supports, which is what we do a lot of times when we don't have any news out there and just kind of waiting to see where everything's going. They did talk about the fact that the USDA is going to add a line for renewable diesel to the monthly supply and demand report. And I think it's interesting to know that the airlines are actually said to be looking to use it to reduce their carbon footprint. So that would be a huge consumption area if airlines actually switch over. Weather in South America, of course, continues to be rainy, rainy, rainy. Part of South America, which is should be harvesting right now in Mato Grosso, got 10 inches of rain this past week. And as we look toward the planting in the U.S., you know, that's normally what happens, Todd, is when you look at the report from yesterday, it becomes almost a non-report 5 minutes later, just because the market now goes and looks and says, well, acreage grain stocks coming at the end of the month. And let's face it, grain stocks is the most important report that there is. And this year, it's even more important because we really need to get a handle on what's out there. So I've got a few things here. Soy stocks have been below the trade estimate each of the last 3 years. While corn, and this is on the March 31st report for the grain stocks. And corn exceeded their estimates the last 2 years, and the last 3 out of 5 years, they exceeded that. Soy stocks exceeded the trade guess each of the last 4 years. While corn stocks exceeded it 4 of the last 5 years. And so, you know, it's one of those situations where I guess the bottom line, Todd, is really, really hard to guess what's going to happen on that report. And some of it comes just because of the fact that, you know, we have the acreage report on one side, which has an impact. And then we have the grain stocks report. Now, this year and always, the grain stocks is the most important, but people usually focus on the acreage report. But, you know, when you look at the acreage, one bushel of yield or two bushels of yield make a huge difference. So yield is really what's important, more so than acreage. But grain stocks is a real report. And so it's going to be interesting. On the USDA report that we had yesterday, the only big changes or the only things that we really saw that were changing basically is the fact that, we talked about world ending stocks numbers. I mean, they lowered the wheat number a little bit. They they raised the corn number a little bit, and they raised the bean number a little bit. And that primarily came out of South America. Argentina, they lowered bean production by 500,000 metric tons, but in Brazil, they raised the bean production by 1 million metric tons. And so when you looked at that, that accounts for a lot of the change that we saw. We also saw South Africa's corn crop get bigger. The Australian wheat got significantly bigger, 3 million metric tons. And, it's just been one of those things that it was an interesting but a strange kind of report that we've been expecting the changes to come for Brazil and Argentina for a while already, and yet you never know when to expect they're going to come. When you looked at the total breakdowns, you know, we didn't see any changes price-wise or anything else just because the USDA chose to leave all the carryouts exactly the same as they were last month on all three crops. And so it's behind us, and we're glad to have it there.
Hey, speaking of Brazil, they've been having a tough time trying to get the crop harvested and, by consequence, trying to get Safrinha corn into the ground.
That's right. They're get further and further behind with the Safrinha corn all the time. And now one of the things that they're really having problems with is the quality on their beans, which is usually not something that they deal with a lot. And so the grain companies are having fits. We've got farmers they're talking about in Tocantins that actually have abandoned their soybeans because they're sprouting and they're rotting. And a lot of the grain companies have refused to accept the worst beans because of the fact that they have a very limited drying capability down there. And so blending is not as easy to do to meet export, standards as it is here. But the thing is, the bigger question is how do we account for all of this? You know, we just raised their production to 134 million metric tons. They talked to the director of Petrina Agronegros down there, and he said that during the first 7 days, mature soybeans remain standing in wet weather without being harvested. The seed loses 1% of the weight per day. After 7 days, it loses 2% of its weight per day. I'm trying to picture that in my mind as to how that's going, how that plays out. But that's what they say. So how do you account for how much may be being lost to this poor quality? And you look at the seed, so we've got seed weights that are less than they should be, therefore a lighter test weight. I think a lot of, some of the poorest quality is probably never going to make it to the commercials because the commercials are going to reject it just like they do here. And if you're going to hold them back as a farmer, now you got the problem with deterioration. It's when will it show up on the balance sheet, I guess, is probably the biggest question. And I think we could look at that as being months and months and months down the road here. But one of the things that they have done is the soybean and corn producers ask, now this is how serious it is. They met with the governor of Mato Grosso last week. They requested emergency in 51 municipalities due to the persistent rains. Some farmer losses, they say, could be as high as 50%. And so that in itself is interesting. But now we've got potential logistical problems going on in South America, too. And it's just like if anything blows up, it blows up everywhere. So Dr. Cordonier said he wanted to alert everybody to the possibility of several logistical problems over the next several months, including port disruptions due to the pandemic, which, we're coming out of it, but they're not. They're just in the main part of it. Low water levels on Paraná River in Argentina again. You and I have talked about that with Port of Rosario so many times. And the wet weather at the Brazilian ports, when it rains, they can't load beans or corn. And so, they've got an awful lot of news and a lot of difficulties that they have to deal with that they normally aren't used to doing.
One thing on China that I was watching, and maybe you have something else as well, but I made note that there's a little fear in their marketplace that there might be more than a little inflation coming for them.
Well, that's true. You know, they had their big legislative meeting yesterday, and the goals that they set for growth were not that impressive, you know, and so they were, I think in general, and yet the numbers that they put out, now I don't believe any of the numbers they put out, but the numbers that they put out showed that food costs were down, you know, 0.2%, and everything else was down. You know, to me, it looked like a real nice government report to put out there. But in general, yes, our niece is experiencing it, and she lives there. And so there's definitely fear there that this is coming. And why wouldn't it be? I mean, the cost of grain is going up dramatically. The cost of pork has gone up dramatically. And just in general, it looks as if their economy is beginning to move again. And so I think that that fear is probably very justified. And so, you know, we look at as far as we're concerned, you know, they're still taking grain, but they sure have been quiet on the buying front lately. You got to kind of wonder what's going on with them. You never know. You can't ever outguess them. I can tell you that much. So I've been around a long time. No way. It can't happen.
Hey, thanks, Jackie. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
That's Jackie Vick. She is with Total Farm Marketing. Let's check the growing region's weather now with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon indeed. Hope you're having a good day.
I am having a good day. I'm wondering about that hard red winter wheat country. We've been watching it closely since last fall when they put the crop in the ground. It's kind of had a rough time of it. Part of it's because it's been so darn dry. Any relief there?
Yeah, definitely. There is relief coming up. We have two back-to-back storm systems coming up, one this weekend, the other one during the early to middle part of next week. And between the two of them, we'll put down some nice moisture that will improve the topsoil conditions, and we should be able to stimulate some new root and tiller development, which is so important for the crop that was injured in February's bitter cold. And I really think this is a fantastic scenario that's playing out here. If you recall, last weekend, there was a little disturbance that brought rain across northeastern Colorado and right through the heart of Kansas from northwest to south central areas and on into north central Oklahoma. That kind of helped to start this improving trend. Now we're going to bring in some additional moisture here Friday through Monday, and then a few more showers coming on during the middle part of next week. I think actually we'll see the rain Friday into Sunday, and then we'll take a short-term break and get some more moisture in. But anyway, the bottom line is still quite favorable. We'll probably see totals run from 0.5 to 1.5 inches across some of the very most important wheat production areas in Kansas and Oklahoma, as well as Nebraska and northeast Colorado. So the situation will definitely be pointed in the right direction. Now, of course, this is only early spring. I've got a long ways to go, but I do think that we'll have other opportunities for moisture, and maybe this crop will surprise folks and be better than what everyone fears.
Does that mean you think an actual change in the pattern is coming?
Well, for the U.S., I think the pattern is going to change somewhat. Now, La Nina is weakening at a very quick pace right now, will continue doing so. So we will lose that bias for the dryness in the plains as we go into April and May. And I think the upper air wind flow pattern will support a periodic pattern like we have right now, where systems will come in from the west southwest and there will be additional opportunities for rain. I'm not convinced the southwest plains are going to do all that great, but I think it's a better scenario than it was.
How about the northwest plains?
Ooh, ugly up there for a while longer. Still nothing in the way of meaningful precipitation in most of Montana and a big part of North Dakota and perhaps even northwestern South Dakota and then on up into Canada's prairies. There was a little snow event that impacted the eastern prairies here earlier this week, put down anywhere from 2 to 8 inches of snow and about a half inch of moisture in parts of central Manitoba. That was certainly good, but it really skipped over most of the dry areas in the Northwest Plains and the rest of the prairies. And those areas are back into a dry mode for an extended period of time. It's just too soon for them to get involved with an active weather pattern. But the good news is that when we get into the second half of April and May, I think a lot of this active weather we're seeing in the heart of the U.S. will shift northward, and we should start bringing some much-needed precipitation to those drought-stricken areas. But we're still a few weeks away from that happening.
And I feel like in the southern United States, it could be about time from Texas to Georgia for a lot of planters to begin to fire up. Is that the case?
That is the case. We're looking really good right now in Georgia and Florida, portions of southeastern Alabama and southern portions of South Carolina. They've had to wait a long time. They've had a lot of rain this winter, which is quite different from what you usually see with a La Nina event. But it is drying down. It's been warming up. It's really a good environment there. And that'll last through probably the weekend. And then after that, I think that things will deteriorate and we'll start seeing a more frequent precipitation pattern in that area for a while. Now, the lower parts of the Delta are probably also in the fields, but not nearly as aggressively. And they will be disrupted by showers periodically over the coming week, a lot sooner than Georgia or northern Florida or Alabama will. So the progress is going to be a little more sluggish there. And then in Texas, they're having a terrible drought in the south part of Texas, and they're planting irrigated land. The dry land fields, though, are not being planted as quickly as they ought to be, and so there's a lot of concern down there. And it, of course, isn't a huge production area relative to the nation, but it is an area that normally gets going earliest, and they certainly have had a tough start.
You know, the place on the planet we've been most worried about as it relates to the crop, at least as of recent and maybe for the better part of their growing season, is in Argentina. What are conditions on the ground like today?
You know, the latest soil assessment for Argentina has suggested that they've got to the point here that moisture stress is as bad as it was in late December and early January. And that was when the early corn crop and some of the sunseed was whacked with lower yields because it was so dry. Well, where you have the late season crops now that are finishing up reproduction, I think we've got about 30% of the corn and soybeans that are in the most moisture sensitive stage of development right now, and the rest is filling. But it is really dry across a large part of the country. Now, Cordoba and Santiago del Estero, which are the two westernmost provinces, are actually doing okay. But the rest of the country is really very dry, and we'll see no rain through the weekend, and temperatures will be in the 80s and lower 90s. But next week, it looks to me like a trend change is coming up. We're going to see some showers and thunderstorms beginning to evolve. And eventually, I think we will see precipitation throughout all of Argentina, and there will be follow-up systems. And so I think this is the end of the really driest part of their growing season.
Hey, thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.